Kanki tuzin yüz onu davatamcı bambiçer davatamcı kodum tela çantı lo şişin kyon gönca lo rütük kesan la ve gengel neşi çabuk ve celamin zevi tonca kembe tüenden la çantı namun hayı yıkken alıdan önce getirme onda adam bir yıkken onda durmakın yıcanım çizim batamcı getir daha küçük den to good afternoon everyone.
Good afternoon, Geshe-la. Our first question is from Georgie. How does purification work or function? Can it actually lessen the consequences of past negative actions?
Cosa? C'è un po' da testare, guarda.
Tash, non tash tele, non lo conto di tidish, qui c'è tish.
Tzu, zu, di, in po' kan, c'è shabati.
With regard to how does this purification works or function, whatever you have is this negative emotions within our mental continuum. It's very important to understand whether we have accumulated or whether we have done the negative emotions or not. Sometimes what happens is we tend to feel that we haven't done anything wrong, so I haven't generated or I haven't done anything wrong at here, so I don't have to purify my negative emotions. So first step is to recognize whatever negative emotions that is within our mental continuum. Of course, it's very important. It's very difficult to recognize all the negative emotions that is within our mental continuum, even though in a single day we might feel that I haven't done anything wrong and I haven't broken any samayas. You might be thinking in such a way, but as we are we believe past lives and future lives too, especially past lives. And this is something, if we speak about past lives, there are numerous past lives. At that time, or even now, we are, of course, most of us are, under the power of negative emotions or afflictive emotions. And especially we are under the power of ignorance. And because of this ignorance, we have done so many unwanted things and created lots of negative negativities or the non-virtuous actions. So at the first step, we need to recognize we are doing something wrong here. So this is very important here. It's very important to recognize what do you mean by negative actions, or what do you mean by this non-virtuous actions or non-virtues? What do you mean by virtuous actions or virtue? So it's very important to recognize what is negativities. What are the negativities, or what do you mean by this non-virtues? Without understanding or recognizing the non-virtuous actions, then we will not feel that we will not go for the purification. So it's the first we need to recognize what is this negative actions or non-virtues.
If
you are practicing the graded path of enlightenment or Lamrim, then you might be knowing that in these texts, which is composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, and there are many examples, especially these non-virtuous actions or non-virtues are given example as this illness. So first we need to understand what our illnesses are, what you are suffering from, what is the meaning of suffering here. And without recognizing the illness itself, then we will not go to see the doctor, and doctor also will check our, you know, the illness first, and without understanding the real illness, then it is quite difficult. Like that, we need to recognize the non-virtuous or non-virtuous actions. So if we really have to purify our negative actions or negativities, then first step is to this understand or recognize the non-virtuous or non-virtuous actions. And then by just, you know, offering some kind of maybe water bowl, or we just make some prostrations, then recite some mantras, and it will, I guess, it will not help much to purify one's own negative actions. As I said earlier, that it's necessary to first, we need to recognize what is the meaning of non-virtuous or non-virtuous actions. So here, this is very important. As I mentioned earlier, that we need to recognize what do you mean by negative actions, or is this non-virtues? So here, when we talk about non-virtues, actually it is an action. While we are, you know, creating this non-virtuous actions, so it has actually the first preliminary, then actual, then the end. If somebody have done these three, preliminary, so preliminary refers here as motivation, with the motivation of doing something bad actions, and in the actual state, then this action of, you know, doing harmful activities towards someone, and in the end, you feel that okay, maybe you feel rejoiced about that. This is something I have done, and I feel very happy. It is this action, negativities or negative actions, is done in such a way where, you know, motivation, actual state, and in the ending also, if you know, it comprises of these three things, then, you know, its effect or its result is, you know, something that one need. But actually, the result is negative actions. So it is something that we need to, later we have to feel oneself. We need to experience that results. As we are talking about creating the non-virtuous actions, which comprises the preliminary actions, the actual actions, and the end also. I talk about this preliminary actions or the motivation itself. So whatever, whenever we do this real, you know, negative actions or non-virtuous actions, actually first there must be, you know, some kind of this motivations. So here, motivation refers to the afflictive emotions or negative emotions. So we need to recognize what is the meaning of afflictive emotions or negative emotions, since this afflictive emotion is the root cause of this negative or the non-virtuous actions. So this is actually quite profound here. So since we are, you know, talking about purification of negative actions, if we really want to purify our negative actions, we need to understand first, as I said earlier, what is the meaning of this non-virtuous actions, and what is the meaning of afflictive emotions or negative emotions. So these things all taking into consideration, then we go for the purification itself. Then, you know, later it will be, you know, beneficial for oneself.
Is the ten tingunze jibala becha tagu dosara becha mate tame dosi ten lamrang ro lamrang ten ta jeru chi lamrang ting chembo da so
It's very important to recognize all these things, all the above said, negative emotions, afflictive emotions, and all these things. To understand all these things, actually, we need to read or we need to contemplate the some kind of textbook. If we think about purification of negative actions or non-virtuous actions, then I feel that it's very necessary to read more and more, and especially read the text which is composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, and he composed this graded stage of the path, great, middling, and concise, or small, or short. This graded stages of the path, or normally we call the slumbering. So if we just go to some Dharma centers and one or two sessions with some masters, and I guess it is not enough. Of course, it's very good, but it's not enough. So the main thing here is one need to read some textbooks again and again. So if that particular person is very intelligent, then of course he or she go to some kind of Dharma centers and listen one or two teachings, then he will understand, that imprint will ripen. But as we are very like common people, it's quite difficult to understand all the meaning, all this profound meaning. So it's very important to read or contemplate or reflect or some textbooks. So here we need to understand we are, under the power of afflictive emotions. Since these afflictive emotions is our real enemy, and we need to recognize that this is our real enemy, and this enemy is causing, all the unnecessary things, and we are suffering a lot. So if we understand all these things, then one teacher or your parents or somebody else will, they don't have to tell you to do these things, but you feel very happy to read or contemplate, about this emotions. Emotions have two types, positive and negative, and all these things. Since you are interested in that particular subject, so you will try to read it no matter what happens, and you will always have some kind of time enough for you to read all this textbooks. So he or she will learn or contemplate or reflect on these subjects.
I have recently started practicing the Lam Rim. Should I stay on one topic or a set of topics until I feel I have fully understood or felt them before moving on to the next one? Or should I cycle through the whole Lam Rim regardless?
Tā kāntacī, chidānta kāntacī lōna tā, sūsū chōk kāntacī lōna dhikī yu jirvāsarā.
Generally speaking, the Lamrim, especially with regard to this great stages of the path, Lamrim Chemo, Great Lamrim, this is quite a big textbook. And it's not something that, first you need to study or practice. This is whatever you like. First you study that, and then you go for another one. It is not presented in a such a way. So it's your wish whether you want to go for, read or practicing that particular topic or subject matter. Of course, you can go, and later you can, change, or you can read or contemplate another topic or the subject matter. So here, this anyhow, this the graded path stages of the path, it means is here whatever all the the way to understand the Buddhism or Buddhist philosophy. or the Buddhist practice or Buddhist religion itself. It is clearly written in these texts that whatever the obstacle with regard to this negative actions, oh, no 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 sorry negative emotions or afflictive emotions, and you know we are talking about this abandonment of all these negative emotions. This abandoning or abandonment of these negative emotions in a stage or in a graded stages, and so that one can develop or one can endeavor the path. When we practice or contemplate this Lam Rim text, of course, first we need to read that particular subject matter. And when I say we need to read that particular subject matter, it doesn't mean that, okay, now I understand that particular subject matter, that particular verse or whatever. It's not only, you know, by reading once or twice, it will, you know, of course, you might have, you know, got some kind of meaning, but if we don't read again and again, it will not familiarize it with regard to our mind. So here, what I'm trying to say here is, we need to familiarize or we need to meditate on that particular subject again and again. Our this negative emotions or this afflictive emotions can, you know, clear away or eliminate it. We need to put lots and lots of hard work to eliminate all these negative emotions by, you know, reading, contemplating, reflecting, and meditating on that particular subject. And later we can actually eliminate all these negative emotions or affective emotions.
Ani simsevi chila phengmu na yang yang du nima takpa.
As we are reciting the Guru Puja, Guru Yoga, Yoga ro. Ani, and we are also reciting this Kandila Gema or the Guru Yoga of Lama Tsongkhapa. So first, actually, we try to recite that, and actually we try to memorize these texts. So after memorizing these texts, then we try to recite these texts so that it can familiarize in our mind. When we recite that particular text, so actually what we need to do is we need to recite this very carefully, very maybe if we can very slowly, then try to understand its meaning, whatever it is written or whatever it is saying. If we don't recite, then I don't think we will, you know, understand its meaning at all. So it's very important to recite again and again, you know, individually or with other with your friends too. So why we are reciting this again and again is we are reciting this again and again so that its meaning, this meaning are quite profound. And you know, whatever meaning that you have in your mind, you know, one should reflect so that one's own bad, you know, this negative emotions negative emotions or afflictive emotions be lessened, or you know, these negative emotions one by one it clears away, or one by one, and later all the negative emotions will be eliminated. So that's why it's very important to recite all these texts, this Guru Yoga and Guru Yoga of this Lama Tsongkhapa. When you read especially this Lam Rim text, great, middling, and short one, if you read again and again, that what happens is maybe okay, you read some other text. So while you are reading that text, then you will, at some point of time that you will understand that, okay, this topic is related to that particular topic or subject of that particular lamrim. So, all these big volumes of teachings which is taught by Buddha himself, also we are saying that 84,000, teachings are there. So whatever text that you might read or the contemplate, reflect it on, all these, things, actually it is condensed in this Lamrim text. So it's very important to, read again and again, contemplate, reflect on, or moreover, try to meditate on this particular subject as much as you can. So while reading or contemplating this Lamrim text, there are some texts where, this titles or subtitles, maybe I should use these titles, are, there are some titles or very important titles which we need to understand this. And if we can, first read, then first maybe try to recite, then later you can memorize it too. These titles are not so much, maybe some pages. So if you anyhow, if you cannot memorize these titles, then there are some main titles. These things usually we need to understand. For example, like what are the qualities of this Dharma? What is the meaning of Dharma? And how to listen and how to teach this Dharma? And what are its qualities? What are its characteristics? These things, if we understand the essence of this Lamrim text, then if we go for or if we read or contemplate this the whatever these topics, then we might feel some kind of contentment, or we feel happy or when we read these texts, since we don't have much time. And some people might think that, okay, this is quite easy, this text is, especially this short Lamrim or Songs of Experience, this is, and this doesn't make any sense for me. And it's maybe some people might think that way, but I guess it is a wrong thing to think like that.
Why does the Lamrim focus on overcoming the suffering associated with each scope of practice rather than focusing on the associated happiness of the above scope as a way to motivate people to progress through the scopes of practice?
Okay. It's maybe just your thinking.
I feel very happy that to understand that you are taking interest in this Lamrim subject or Lamrim text, since, and we are very fortunate to not only reading this text but just discuss this topic about Lamrim. So generally speaking, we are in this particular earth, and we are in this beautiful place or beautiful continent called Australia. And since Australia is a very nice country, and it has all the facilities that we can think of, so we are surrounded by such facilities, and we feel quite happy to be able to enjoy all these facilities. So as we, are feeling, or my mental state is very happy right now. And when we are happy, then, sometimes we tend to forget about the Dharma. So we are not like that, and we are talking about or we are discussing about this Dharma, and especially the Lamrim text. So I would like to say thank you for this question, and I feel very happy, and I feel rejoice to understand that, and from the bottom of my heart, I would like to, you know, I have respect for you for asking these type of questions. With regard to happiness, it can be, I mean, there are two types. One is temporary and what is ultimate. So there can be two types of happiness. One is temporary, something which is quite evident. And there is one more type of happiness, and it's ultimate happiness. So this is something that we all know.
Tadini ta lamrung gu kawla ya nikub gu dewa tobya gu chedu geja shigo marda.
With regard to happiness, as I mentioned earlier, that there are two types. One is something temporary, and what is and another one is ultimate happiness. So with regard to the Lamrim text, of course, it's talking about this happiness, and happiness in Lamrim text, the happiness or ultimate happiness is being more stressed on, or the main teaching is about ultimate happiness and not about the temporary happiness. So then you might think that what do you mean by this temporary happiness? So this temporary happiness is actually, you know, like okay, attachment towards this tasty food, or we might go to see some movies at that time. We are attached to that movie, then maybe we go around some places, or we visit some places, some beautiful places, and we get attached to that particular place. So these are some examples. And with regard to this ultimate happiness, so here ultimate happiness means that it brings some kind of joy within one's own mental continuum. So here joy refers to the, you know, this joy is not like a fleeting one. It is like it stays quite a long period of time. And once you enjoy that particular joy or happiness, then it brings, you know, great energy towards one's own mental continuum. And to attain that state or the ultimate happiness, you know, if you drink alcohol too much, it will not bring about such changes. Or maybe you go to some places to visit some nice place, some islands. I don't think it will bring such kind of happiness or this ultimate happiness. Or if you go to watch movies, I don't think it will help much, or I don't think one will be able to generate such kind of happiness here, this ultimate happiness. Then what is that? What is that thing which brings or which is to transform our mind so that we can, you know, actually experience this ultimate happiness? So here, the only way here is to, you know, generate love and compassion by generating or by developing love and compassion. It's these love and compassion accompanied by wisdom realizing emptiness or the wisdom itself, then it can bring or change, or actually we are going to that path so that one day we can actually experience or feel this ultimate happiness.
Happiness peaceful search. Happiness, you have something peaceful, you have not that.
So in English words, there are two words. One is called happiness, and another one is called peaceful. So whenever we feel some kind of happiness, it doesn't mean that we feel we are at ease, or we are feeling peaceful within. So happiness, as I mentioned earlier, that there are two types. So one is temporary. So when you are feeling this temporary happiness, then at that time, at the very deep inside, we still feel that maybe in English it's called fleeting happiness. So in deep inside, we feel that still I need more. I'm not content at that particular time. And it's not quite right. I need more and more. So here we need to make distinction. But once you experience the ultimate happiness, then in deep inside, you don't feel such a way where you feel that when you feel this fleeting happiness or this temporary happiness. So once you develop, or once you feel the ultimate happiness, then in deep inside you don't feel that I need more and more. So I need to look somewhere else, I mean, to find happiness. The feeling is not there. When you talk about this, the question is lumbering focus on overcoming the suffering associated with each scope or practice. So I guess, of course, the main focal point, or the lumbering focuses on the all the sentient beings, especially the happiness or the ultimate happiness. So lumbering focuses on may all sentient beings that particular happiness, or that ultimate happiness. So if that hap main this ultimate happiness is attained or generated by that all sentient beings, then this is the real goal of Lamrim. So the main point, or the essence of Lamrim texts, is that we are talking about this union of method and wisdom, especially it's teaching us that what is the importance of bodhicitta, or the mind of enlightenment. So those great practitioners who practice this Lamrim text, and they have this special experience, or the those great practitioners are saying that the Lamrim teach us about the three scope, as it is stated in this question, a small, middling, and great scope. So when we talk about these three scope, or these three persons, the mainly what it states is that we are actually talking about renunciation, mind of enlightenment, or this bodhicitta, and the great view, or the wisdom itself. So when we talk about this renunciation or definite emergence, we are mainly touching this two scope, first and second scope. So that is small scope and middling scope. So to have this mind of enlightenment, we need to touch this nyejung, or this definite emergence or renunciation. So when we talk about definite emergence or renunciation, so we need to understand what is the suffering. So to understand this definite emergence, Lamrim explain this suffering. Here, it is not stressing or emphasizing more on happiness, but rather to suffering. So since suffering comes from this afflictive emotions, and especially this ignorance, so this ignorance is actually the root cause of all the sufferings that we can think of. So to eliminate this negative emotions, so it is, the suffering are just more emphasizing on suffering here. So this is just an introduction note. It's like introductory note. So that's why this Lambim text is not stressing or you know emphasizing on the suffering itself.
With
regard to this small scope and middling scope, so as I mentioned earlier, that actually Lamrim text is teaching us about the renunciation or definite emergence. To recognize this definite emergence, we need to understand it's where definite emerge, where we need to emerge from. So actually samsara. So samsara is actually the cyclic existence. It's actually, you know, like this. Because of under the power of this afflictive emotions, all the problems, all the sufferings arises from that. That's why we are, you know, talking about this definite emergence. And here we need to understand how we are being born into this cyclic existence again and again and again, and how one is under the, you know, power of this afflictive emotions. Since we falls under the power of afflictive emotions, we, you know, born again and again in this cyclic existence. So if we don't understand this, these steps, these stages, then we will, you know, never be able to generate this definite emergence. So we need to understand the suffering and what is the root cause of suffering. So all these things we need to understand as actually the first question with regard to first question like purification. So at that time, actually, I touched that part, and maybe you can think on that part too. So first, we need to realize that how to clear away the all this suffering. So if one understand that, one one, you know, within oneself, and then oneself first, then you just need to think about others, you know, may all other sentient beings, you know, who has been tormented by suffering, may all these sentient beings be free from, you know, these sufferings. Then at that time, we are generating this love and compassion. So once we generate compassion, then later we can think about this mind of enlightenment or bodhicitta. And at that time, I guess that many, you know, these great masters are saying that one can feel a real happiness or this ultimate happiness. If we are not able to meditate on compassion well, then sometimes what happens is, you know, because of this not, you know, understanding or not able to meditate on compassion, great compassion well, then it might sometimes create a disturbance in our mental continuum. So if that is the case, then that person or that particular person, he or she is not able or not able to understand the real meaning of compassion. And with regard to Lamrim texts, it teaches us that to attain liberation or moksha and full Buddhahood. And the way to attain, how to attain liberation and full Buddhahood, all the stages, all the graded stages are shown or taught in a very clear way. And this all the stages are, you know, like and all the stages are very it explained in a very clear way, and there isn't any, I guess there isn't any wrong thing with one can argue about, especially the Mahayana tradition with regard to compassion, the basis of compassion, and to generate this bodhicitta or the mind of enlightenment. So how to generate bodhicitta on the basis of love and compassion? When these are being taught, then there are some, you know, especially some other traditions, because this Mahayana traditions talks about or teaches about the all the sentient beings, or that one person is carrying the burden of all the sentient beings, or may all sentient beings be free from suffering, may all sentient beings have all the happiness, especially the ultimate happiness that generated in that all the sentient beings. So one particular person is thinking in such a wide way or broad way. There are some person, this is something not realistic. This is not real. How one can think such a way? How, like, one person can think about all the sentient beings? This is not realistic. So by thinking that, you know, then one's own love and compassion is degenerated. So there are many cases where, you know, first you attain this bodhicitta or love and compassion, and later by thinking that way, then one's own love and compassion degenerated. If I try to say it clearly or vividly to you, then this is the case. So it's very important to read these Lamrim texts, and so that this is very important to read again and again these Lamrim texts, so that one can have, you know, one can have the blessings of these texts. You know, later, if we read this text again, we might feel that, okay, earlier I haven't understood that particular subject. Later you read again, then you will, you know, at some point of time that you will feel more happier. You will feel more content. So actually to have blessing from this text, then actually we need to create lots of merits. We need to accumulate lots of merits. And then how to accumulate this merit is actually we need to recite or meditate on this Guru Yoga, or we need to meditate on Guru Yoga, especially this Guru Yoga of Lama Tsongkhapa. And we need to recite Miktsema. And if we can do all these things, then at some point of time, if we happen to read again that Lamrim text, then, you know, it will bring about more meaning, or the understanding is more clear later. So it will actually bring about some changes in our mental continuum too. Of course, by reading or reciting the Lamrim text, one can accumulate some kind of virtuous actions, or one will accumulate this merits, of course. And as I stated earlier, that you know, these, after reciting or reading or contemplating on Lamrim texts, you know, there are some cases that where, you know, this blessing comes within, and instructions, special instructions are there, and these instructions, you know, arises or comes into our mind or mental continuum. To happen that, we need to, you know, recite or contemplate or meditate on Guru Puja, or we need to recite Miktsema. So this is here, you know, very important. And this, So this plays a very important role here because every result has its own cause. And there are some results which has, you know, the cause is very special. So so here, special cause refers to reciting the Guru Puja, Gandhin Lagema and Animik Sema, Guru Puja of Lama Tsongkhapa. And all the great practitioners since very long time has done this, and they have gained, or they have, you know, these blessings are, you know, actually, maybe I can say gone, these blessings are, you know, gone towards their mental continuum. And they have got the blessings from Lama Tsongkhapa himself, and they have got the instructions too. And all the whatever the advices are being given in Lamrim texts. So they try to go accordance with that advices and instructions. The great practitioners, they have attained this liberation and full Buddhahood or enlightenment. So if you know, just recite the Mik Sema and also Gandhin Lagema and also Guru Puja, Guru Yoga, then you feel, I guess one can feel very happy. And we of course we can think about Lama Tsongkhapa, how wonderful he has played in this particular earth. And so we can think like that. Then there are, you know, some people who might think that this Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga actually it has only maybe two or three pages. But there are some people who might think that, okay, there are three pages and it's too much for me. If you think like that, then there is one stanza, there is one verse where we think about the body, mind and speech of Lama Tsongkhapa. His mind is, you know, I don't have that stanza right now, but I'm just trying to describe it. So this mind having or knowing all omniscience and body and speech too. Anyhow, there's one verse where you can recite that verse, and later you can just go through. And this third verse of Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga. And after that, you know, you just recite this Mik Sema.
Yes, Kabuti, Kabuti. Yeah.
Yep. So we did find the third verse, the verse that Geshe-la Thupsa was mentioning, and it's in the Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga, and that's the prostration verse. So it's for those of you who've been to our retreats on the seven wisdoms, Lama Tsongkhapa seven wisdoms, it's that text. So earlier, Geshe-la, you spoke about the importance of recitation. So one of our students would like to ask, if we are just listening to a sadhana recording, does that mean we have done the practice and fulfilled our daily commitment? Or do we need to recite the practice, at least softly, in order for it to be considered done?
Rāngāntu kāntuñ chī kōyā tī kēnēn kārī chī wāt pēnā tā chī ān tī kī chōgā sōrī tī tēngu dās chōgā tī nā kārī wās tī tī tēndā yī lā gōm yā tī gōm dāng kā rīmbā mā ān shē shā yō tī cīk tī tēndā tī yī lā sām wā tī rō yā tī rā sā rā.
So usually when we are reciting the texts or scriptures, the main point of reciting this particular text or the scriptures is to understand or try to understand the meaning of its content or the meaning of that particular text. Of course, it's very good to listen the you know, whatever the sadhanas that has been recorded. Of course, it's good, but it's merely, you know, just recorded and whatever that is, you know, done that has, you know, done in such a way that where it only plays, you know, in a record. So this actually doesn't, you know, help you more. So whatever commitments that you have been promised, the main point here is that, you know, you need to recite yourself. It's better to recite yourself than not only merely reciting that particular text, but try to, you know, recognize or understand the meaning inside our own mind. So here the most important thing is to do is to recite, then to, you know, try to understand its meaning.
So the next question from Ian: what is the difference between karmic seeds and karmic imprints? Are there positive karmic seeds and karmic imprints?
Gumaras, le samandalaya sabin shayagare bacha shayagares.
And with regard to, are they positive karmic seeds and karmic imprints? So Kishla is saying that all these karmic seeds and karmic imprints is not necessarily only positive or positive karmic seeds and positive karmic imprints. They are negative karmic seeds and karmic negative karmic imprints too. So when we talk about this karma, all the karma has the potential to have these karmic seeds and also karmic imprints. So maybe we can talk about this virtuous action and non-virtuous action. So when we accumulate virtuous actions and when we, you know, do non-virtuous actions, it can, you know, leave karmic seeds and karmic imprints too. So all karmic actions, whether you are talking about virtuous actions or non-virtuous actions or neither of those two, they have the potential to leave karmic seeds and karmic imprints too. So whatever the karmic seeds or whatever the seeds or the imprints, this, you know, these are not, we cannot talk only about this. We are not talking only about this karma, but we can also talk about the afflictive emotions. So that means afflictive emotions has the power to leave this seeds and imprints too.
Tanda te nyumu la jani te gyu lo nyumu thamal yora ta ine nyumu la jani bacha saben da bacha ki kevadi sevpe shayores.
And with regard to this afflictive emotions or klesha, so if we can, you know, think about this seeds and imprints, then we can make distinguish or we can make differences with regard to the afflictive emotions seeds and afflictive emotions imprints. So here, as I said earlier, that If we are talking about the seeds and imprints of afflictive emotions or pleasure, then it's quite, actually one can make differentiation between one can make difference between seeds and imprints. So let me give you an example. It's like ignorance of grasping at self, or since this is an afflictive emotion. So here, this afflictive emotions. So we talk. Maybe we can talk about this imprints and seeds. So if we maybe we can say like whatever is seeds, then this we can say that it is necessarily had to be imprints too. And when we talk about imprints, it is not necessarily all the imprints is not necessarily have to be seeds. So here you can make some kind of distinction here. And with regard to this ignorance of grasping itself, so its seed is in future or in the later part, if that seed can or seed has the ability to produce grasping itself, or it has the potential to arise grasping itself, then we can say this is the seeds of grasping itself. And with regard to imprint of grasping itself, then this imprint have the potential to arise the appearance of not grasping itself, but truly existence or intrinsically existence. So these are the two differences. So it's quite profound here.
How do the teachings specifically help us deal with chronic physical pain and the intense emotional pain from the actions of another?
Tēn shū gu ñamlēng tōg dī pēntō yōng mā yōng dī chī tāng sōsō sōsō gī ñamlēng chē tūng mā tūng lā rā lēng dō sā rā.
When we talk about this practice of Dharma or the teachings, whether this will help someone or not, is actually it depends or individually. For example, like one person, he or she might, is have done some practice with regard to that particular teaching. Then, of course, he or she is doing this or practicing the or she's doing the practice himself or herself. And at the time of doing this practice, it's quite difficult to say whether that person will help to other person, especially who is in this chronic physical pain, and of course, and another person also intense emotional pain. I'm not too sure that somebody's practice, doing practice, makes or help to that particular person. But then, how to help for those person is actually if somebody can make introduction, or if somebody can introduce these teachings or the advices of teachings or practices to that particular person. Maybe those person who are chronically who has chronic physical pain, and some person whether they have like intense emotional pain. if we can make some kind of, you know, like introduce these teachings to them, of course, this can help to those person. The best way to, you know, help some other person is to introduce the great advices that has been taught in whatever this, especially this text or all these practices. So I'm doing these practices and it can help you too. So by saying these things or by helping, you know, by helping, especially through talk, if that person is eager to listen, if that person has time, then of course, they will listen and later it will bring about some changes. Whether that person is, you know, chronic, if that person has chronic physical pain or that person has intense emotional pain. For example, like animals, if we try to, you know, teach or if we try to help to that animal by, you know, advising or by, you know, talking, it doesn't make sense. So that all depends on whether, you know, that person has time or eager to listen or not. So anyhow, the best way to teach or, you know, to help some other person is to, you know, just introduce those advices, helpful advices, so that, you know, they can have, you know, they can change their mind, they can transform their mind.
Is it possible for another person to cause my suffering? And how do I cope?
강아도 누가 강연받디 계신절 때인데 용용받았다.
When we are speaking about the suffering that has been caused by other or not, the suffering itself, so this is something we experienced. When we experience suffering, of course, this is something not dependent, not independent, it's dependent on others, or others here refers to causes and conditions. Because of such and such causes and conditions, actually, we experience this suffering. And when we talk about this experiencing the suffering, of course, it is the me or it is ourselves we are experiencing this. And so one causes ourselves, and there might be, you know, other person too, the main cause. So this is something 100% sure that when we are, you know, suffering, that the main cause is oneself and others too. And I don't believe that you know, we are suffering because of, you know, the main reason is other person. The one reason is myself or ourselves. This is something we need to understand here. And with regard to suffering of body or physical pain, so because of this body, we are experiencing the suffering or physical pain that we have to suffer. When we think about this, the physical pain or the suffering of body, most of the case what happens is because of, you know, this physical pain, our mental peace is lost. Because of this, as you have written, that chronic pain, that our body is in such a state, then our mind is not peace, our mental peace is lost there also. So here we need to understand that body means it is in the nature of suffering. It's because of this body we are suffering. If we don't have this body, then I guess we will not, you know, suffer, or physical pain is not there. So one day No matter how much you try to protect this body, or no matter how much you care, take care with regard to this body, one day we need to leave, or we need to throw away this dear body. So if we think like that, then even if you are, if your physical pain is too much, then mentally speaking, that mental state is not completely lost. We can, even generate some kind of peace inside mentally. For example, like if somebody, some doctors maybe, or somebody told you to cut your finger. Of course, your finger might be causing lots and lots of trouble or pain towards you. Then, somebody suggested you to just cut this top of your finger. Then it all depends on your mental attitude. So if you think that, okay, I need to cut this finger so that later, that particular wounded finger might not affect to other parts of the body. So if you have such, kind of, or maybe you can sacrifice, that small part of finger, that cut, and later, it will recover. So it all depends on your mental attitude, the how you are thinking, or what is your mental attitude. It depends.
With jealousy, if someone is envious of me, resentful of my dharma or worldly success, how can we help them or give the victory to them, as it says in the 8 verses of Lamitapa?
Tumna chado sa de ngin la paro wa de se na an chado de shi ro sa ro sa ra ne chen yu chim bu cha ne
One way maybe, that person who might envious to you at that time, it's that person is jealous or envious towards you because you have such kind of worldly success, or you might have accumulate lots of wealth at that particular time. To clear away that envy is to, just share your little bit of wealth towards that particular person, so that that person's envy can, become less. This is, I guess, one way to deal with this situation.
Tamado piji ngos tado se dengendele kaptu ani ta sozu gulo di sozu gu tabo jab tu rasas sozu sem di sozu gu ta chik tangzen che tu bay na men pasho mo tado se na ya sozu sem di tembu chi de bay na teni shushu ke chesha iskiyo maras.
And at the time of, when other person are envy towards you, especially when you are, when you have worldly success, at that particular time, actually, one needs to protect, or one needs to guard against one's own mind. At that time, if one can, make firm, our own mind. If we can stay in a stable way, then I don't think, other people will, destroy or harm to you.
Tēnā tā kō yā lōzhōng kō tsē tēs lōng kō kō tāsirā ātō mī shēn sō tātō sēwāi nā ngā sō lāṃsāng tā chī tātō dī nyōng rē.
So here we need to transform our mind. So when we talk about this transformation of mind, so there are many levels. So wherever that level we are, we need to actually go one up. So we need to actually improve our, you know, mental attitude. For example, like jealousy, envy is actually one part of klesha, or this afflictive emotions or negative emotions. This is just one small negative emotion. So at the this is something, so jealousy is something that we ourselves have experienced. And at the time of experiencing this jealousy or envy towards some other person, and at that time, you know, we are under the power of that afflictive emotion or negative emotion. So when I, me, myself falls under the power of this negative emotion, then I might do lots of things which usually I never do. Likewise, other person, when he or she is experiencing or this negative emotion, especially jealousy or envy towards you, then at that time, you have to think that okay, he or she is under the power of afflictive emotion. When he or she is under the power of afflictive emotions, good thing will never happen. So at that time, you need to generate love and compassion towards that particular person. So this is something we can do. Generally speaking, we are talking about, you know, no matter whoever, you know, when he or she is under the power of this klesha or afflictive emotion, then, you know, he or she is creating lots of negative actions or non-virtuous actions. This is something we generally see. So at the time of, you know, this arising of these negative emotions towards other person, and, you know, the way he acts, the body action or speech, this, you know, completely changed. And at that time, you know, in reality, we need to feel compassion towards that particular person. But normally, or most of the case, what happens is we just feel anger towards that particular person. So anyhow, in real, it's actually we need to generate love and compassion towards them, because he or she is under the power of afflictive emotions. That's why he or she is doing such and such things. So we need to think like that. With regard to afflictive emotions or negative emotions, this is something that one needs to be, you know, eliminated. And when we talk about this afflictive emotions, this is something wrong. This, most of us, we know this. But when we talk about, you know, the person who has this klesha or afflictive emotions, when we talk about that person actually wants happiness and do not want suffering. So this is similar to oneself, me, I, and other person. There is no difference at all with regard to wanting happiness and do not want suffering. So at the time of, you know, like the arising of this negative emotions towards that part, and for those persons who has this negative emotions, then it is actually we need the main thing is we need to generate compassion towards that particular person. So at that particular time, if we are also falls under the power of afflictive emotions, this is not the right way to do. This is actually the one's own, you know, mentality. We need to change our attitude here. So this is not the problems, brothers. Actually, it is your own problem. So here, always make distinction between klesha, or this afflictive emotion, and the person. So these two, we need to make distinction. So of course, this when we talk about this afflictive emotion, this is something very bad, and this is something we need to avoid. But with regard to that person, one should not avoid that person. Actually, we need to, you know, care, and we need to generate our love and compassion towards that particular person.
If we receive the long of a text in Tibetan, is it a good idea that we, as the listener, also read the text in English while we are receiving the oral long?
Yes, yes. Long singingi and the shilong sorajin by now. Tenda di koko warita, tenda kodi any.
Yes, when we are receiving the long of text in Tibetan, it's always good idea to read in English. So here, when we talk about transmission or long, there can be two. One is oral transmission, and one is while giving this oral transmission, you know, the teacher might describe or explain its meaning. So when we, you know, we are thinking on, when we think about this oral transmission, the main point here is just to listen whatever the teacher is giving, or you just receive that sound is the main important here. And at the time of, you know, listening, of course you can read that in English, whatever, whether that text is in English, you can read that too. And with regard to this transmission, oral transmission, so I guess that you know, for example, like Lama Tsongkhapa has, you know, written so many texts, and all of these texts are actually in Tibetan. So this is one part, and another part is that you know, there are many texts which is actually written in Sanskrit or Pali, and the Indian master have actually written those texts in Sanskrit or Pali. So then how it works, how this transmission works, oral transmission works, whether how this works, maybe we can think like that. So and at that time, great translators actually has got oral transmission from those Indian masters. And once you receive that oral transmission from those Indian masters, then that particular this translator, he or she, you know, has given this oral transmission through it, actually in Tibetan form or Tibetan writing. Then we can say that there is a transmission, or this the transmission of oral transmission is there. I'm just giving one more example. For example, like, okay, this Lamrim is actually, first it is written in Tibetan. So later, maybe, you know, some translators can actually translate this into English. When the time of translating this Lamrim to English, then, you know, that translators, if he or she has got oral transmission from another master or Tibetan master in Tibetan, then, you know, that very translator can actually give oral transmission in English towards other person. Then at that time, you know, then we can say that oral transmission is there. So this is what I think.
So the follow-up question is, I have heard that when we say take vows, that the words are like a subtle form on our mind stream. And is that the same for an oral transmission, that there are very subtle physical form on our mind?
Pena lamram chenpo te jerum chig song ras jerum chig di ma ta chig gyazo khedru la so ba le so tene ma ani kanji bhar ma chen mi chig bhar ma chen.
With regard to oral transmission, let me give you an example that Lamrim text, of course, it is composed by Jerimbuchi Lama Tsongkhapa. And this transmission, oral transmission, Jerimbuchi himself has given to his two sons, Gyatsabje and Kedup. So here, this oral transmission is the main point. Is actually it is a sound, and you know when somebody gives oral transmission, then at that time actually you know we hear that sound, and after that it turns into to imprints. So that imprints is in our you know mental continuum. So let me give you another example. So for example, like this rosary or mala, this rosary consists maybe 108 or 25, 50, you know, this rosary. All this rosary are connected. So the main connector is actually this cord, thread, August. Thank you, string. So here the main connection or connector is the string or thread. So here you see that mala, 1, 2, 3 malas. So if you think about three rosary, three bits. So first and third is actually connected by second. If there is no second, bit, then you know it doesn't make sense that we are saying this third. We cannot call this as third. So that's why if you know somebody gives oral transmission about one text, then that particular text, you know, we cannot give to oral transmission to another person without having oneself that transmission. And with regard to vows, maybe there are many different vows. If we talk about this Pratimoksha vow, we can talk about this 10 non-virtuous actions. So 10 non-virtues. And it can be divided into three: body, mind, and speech. So body, it has maybe three; speech has four; then again, mind has three. So with regard to body, maybe not, maybe killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and these three. When we talk about this, especially maybe okay with regard to this body. These are actually action. So this action is actually, for example, like killing. Killing is an action. So here, so when I say this is an action, so this action is actually, we can say it's in impermanence, we can divide into, you know, matter and consciousness. So here, it falls under the matter. Since this is an action with regard we can say this is a matter. So whatever we try to avoid from the mind, so here we can also say that this should be also matter. So when we talk about matter, it's not. We are talking only about this subtle matter, subtlest form of matter.
That is Shagibe 430. No
So
choice.
it's better to stop here.
Thank you so much.